Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. A woman was granted emergency protective order against Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
She alleges that the point guard threatened her with a gun. She filed for an emergency protective order against him. Apparently, this was filed on Friday. But she alleged that Rondo and the child were playing video games Wednesday when she asked the child to separate laundry. Rondo reacted angrily, according to the woman, ripping the game console out the wall and smashing several items in the house, leaving the boy and another child there upset. The woman alleges Rondo said to her, "You're dead," before leaving the house, only to return shortly thereafter this time with a gun and demanding to see one of the children. The woman said she grew scared of the situation, so she brought the child downstairs. Rondo pulled the child outside, allegedly while still holding the gun, while he yelled at him. He then demanded to see the other child too, and she also came outside as Rondo yelled at both of them for being afraid of him, the woman alleged. So not great accusations there.
I would imagine this will be the end of Rajon Rondo's career.
Yep, I would think so as well, but he has to stay 500 feet away from the woman and the children and must temporarily surrender any firearms to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. So, spokesperson said they are aware of what happened and in process of gathering information.
Don't know if this will be he'll have to face any jail time for this or not. I don't know how that works, but it does, like I said, feel like it's the end of his career. He was already kind of on the way out, but
yeah.
Once you start adding some off-the-field stuff, not a good combination.
Yeah, not at all.
Charlie, you got any headlines? Oh, no, you didn't. Sorry.
I got another one.
Okay, go ahead, Cam.
Georgia Bulldogs football commit Marcus Washington Jr., a cornerback from the 2023 class, is reclassifying and will be joining their 2022 class. And, skipping a senior high school and basically, just coming and playing this year. He's going to enroll in a few weeks, and, he's going to be there early. He's one of the top committed players from 2023. He's the 84th ranked prospect in that ranking, or in the 2023 class. And, just more help for that team down there. They did lose a couple defensive backs to the draft, but
they lost like four
and
the
transfer portal. You said what?
I was saying they lost like four to the portal.
Yeah. They lost most of them to the SEC as well. They lost one to South Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, and Michigan State. So they could use some cornerback help. So of course they get it.
The Charlotte Hornets will interview Terry Stotts for their head coaching job this week. Terry Stotts also a name that's been linked to the Los Angeles Lakers. Terry Stotts had a long tenure with the Portland Trailblazers. Got to the one conference finals. Any other thoughts on Terry Stotts? It doesn't seem like a name that would really get people too excited, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
In his 11-year career, 517 and 486. So, I mean, he is, 151% of his games, I guess.
Yeah.
Started with the Hawks in 03. Coached there 03, 04. Never got anything going. Mm-hmm. Went to the Bucks. Wasn't very good there. Got another chance in Portland in 2013. Coached from then through the 2021 season. A career playoff record of 23-44.
Oof.
It's not very good.
Not great.
But a professional coach, and I guess one that can at least, bring some maturity to the position. If you hire Terry Stotts, are you hoping that, Dame Lillard just loves him and tries to force a trade to go back and play with him? I don't know what the goal there is exactly, but
I don't either.
He's at least getting interviewed, getting some opportunities.
I'm tired of retreads.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, there's a prime now example of a retread working in the conference finals in Jason Kidd, but I still feel like there's also a pretty prime example of trying to something new in the Eastern Conference Finals with, I can't say his name, the Celtics coach.
M.A. Udoka. Yeah.
I feel like there's also a pretty prime example there of, being rewarded for trying a new coach, a younger coach, a guy that has earned his way up rather than just been around and been fired and won some games and lost some games.
I don't know. You talk about retreads. Like, I don't even know with Jason Kidd. He had the two jobs before. He had the 1 year in Brooklyn where, you know, he got him to the playoff. They won a series. That was with old-ass KG and Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Then he immediately leaves to go to the Bucks after, like, a power struggle with the Bucks. Then he goes and has, like, another power struggle there with the Bucks. But, like, with him, it wasn't like he was a failure in Milwaukee. It was just really that, like, he wasn't meshing with the players and was trying to make Giannis be a point guard and – Giannis kept growing and like it was more like, hey, we need to be a center, and I just didn't he didn't realize that. But I would say that like he was successful or more successful than Terry Stotts was for most of his career. I don't know. Just looking at in 6 years of his coaching, he won 21 playoff games, 21 and 20. In 11 years for Terry Stotts, he's won 23. Like, so, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's being bolstered by winning two series this year, but also Jason Kidd was, of course, a Hall of Fame basketball player.
Yeah.
I mean, Terry Stotts, I believe, did Terry Stotts play basketball? I want to say he did, but I don't think, like, he was ever.
I want to say yes, too, but.
I don't know if he did or not, actually. Maybe not. Huh. No, he played. Yeah, he did. But just never really, like. Made it. He was drafted in the second round, but I don't think he ever actually like played.
Okay.
He was like at least in the league for a second. Speaking of basketball, the Vols add to their roster. We had kind of talked about this guy last week, Tobe Awaka.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Player of the Year. It does look like he is coming to Tennessee. He announced on Instagram. There's been some, I guess, disagreements on whether or not he's the 2023 class or 2022 class.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Grant Ramey called him a 2023 power forward, implying that he hasn't reclassified yet and that he's going to, they think he will reclassify. I did see that Brent Hubbs and VolQuest said they already called him a 2022 addition to the class. So I think
He started as a 2022 guy and then went back to a 2023 guy and was going to maybe play a year of prep school. And now I guess he's going to reclassify back to 2022. So it's not like he's going to be a guy, if he reclassifies either, that is too young or like needs an, or, would have been in high school otherwise.
Okay. Does look like by the end of the week, I would expect Tennessee to add another freshman body, another prospect, DJ Jefferson, 6'5". Small forward from St. Paul, Minnesota. Recently picked up, went and visited, and I think picked up an offer from Washington State. Wazoo. Okay. It does look like people think that he is going to come to Tennessee.
You still have two more spots left. You got to imagine it's him and Hunter.
I don't think we're getting Hunter anymore.
You don't think we're going to get Hunter?
Nope. The pendulum has swung that he is probably going to stay in the Big 12. Kansas apparently willing to boot someone for him, and if not Kansas, Texas. So I do not think Tennessee is expecting to add Hunter to this team.
So then do you think they use that last scholarship on another guy that they try to get from the portal, or do you think they go the developmental route again?
Well, would the two scholarships not be Tobe and
there's two more,
DJ Jefferson? Okay.
From what I read, at least, that they're after Tobe, there's two more.
Okay. Now I don't know what they would do. I would imagine they'd still rather have a veteran come in and try to play guard. Or at least be there like for depth purposes. But
at
this level, I would say it's a pretty low.
I don't even know if you need another veteran for like to play guard.
It depends on how.
Begin with like Key and.
It depends on how BJ Edwards is. Depends. Like, they know what BJ Edwards is more than we do. So if they believe in him, they might not prioritize it if they're a little worried about him.
You have four guards, right? So you can go 2-2.
Yeah, but I don't think. Like, again, if I am building this basketball roster, and I'm not acting like I know everything, but if I'm building this basketball roster, I would be nervous about having Zakai Ziegler as your starting point guard. And
would too.
And, I mean, I don't think I feel much better about, like, Tyreek Key being your starting point guard. I mean, he was solid last year at Indiana State, but, like, I don't – do we expect that to just, like, automatically carry over?
That'll be the question.
I mean, he had some big games. Like, in his conference tournament, I mean, he, you know, I guess it was the end of the regular season instead. Never mind. You know, he busted Evansville's ass, 34 points, mm-hmm. 5 rebounds, only 1 assist. I mean, I don't know. 70% from the field.
I don't even starter know. Experience helps, but.
Yeah, yeah, like, so, but I don't know if you can expect that to carry over, you know, to the SEC, but maybe. So maybe they feel comfortable with him, you know, as the guard, and maybe they don't need somebody, Charlie. I don't know.
I don't even know, like, what we expect from Tyreek Key either. Like, bringing him in, like, I do you think that we expect him to be a guy that starts or plays starter minutes?
I expect him to play at least, like, 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not, you know, he comes in and starts. Because even after Tyreek Key, right, they've looked for Yuri Collins from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And Tyrese Hunter from Iowa State. Now, I don't really remember how old Yuri Collins was. I want to say he was a junior or senior already. But, like, with Tyrese Hunter, he was a freshman. So maybe they're just like, hey, we just want this guy in our program anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a 3 or 4 year guy. I don't know.
But, yeah, it does make you question a little bit if they're not confident.
They're not selling him being like, yeah, the day one guy and, like, going to like take a stranglehold on the position. They're still looking for guard help. So I don't know, Charlie. But Tobe Awaka, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I guess I need to figure that out since he's here now. I need to go and get a pronunciation gun, text some people. But then this by the end of the week, I think, again, they're expecting DJ Jefferson from Minnesota Prep Academy to come to Tennessee as well. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Oh, we're getting close. Charlie says we got some updated, released, ready-to-go college football games. We know what games are going to be on what? ESPN, ABC, even Fox releasing a couple?
These are right now in front of me, I just have the games that ABC released.
Okay.
Which, man, when you see these pop up on the timeline, it just starts to give you a little tingle. It makes you feel warm on a Tuesday. And
Cam, where are you at in terms of level of excitement for college football this year?
I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet? Okay.
No, I'm in the thick of NFL offseason right now still.
So you're more worried about?
Well, it's just not as much as the offseason stuff going on, I guess, with college.
Uh-huh.
Like, as we get closer and, you know, once the polls and stuff come out, that's when I start feeling it more. But right now, yeah, I'm still winding down the NBA, still looking at, there's still some big names available in the NFL and stuff like that, so waiting to see if, hear anything about that. And, yeah, just, like, you know, nothing really is going on outside of, like, schedule release, I guess, like this for college football, so I don't really think about it as much this time of year. A
couple more things in the portal, I guess, but yeah.
Where are you at?
I am more excited than I was last year. So I think that's a good starting point. Like last year, I don't want to say I was dreading it, but I wasn't very excited for the Heupel era, I'll be honest. But for right now, especially in May, I would say I am, again, the most excited I've probably been in years. Because, I mean, the 1 year that would have had me excited was the COVID year, and then that just all got blown to hell, right? And then you're worried you weren't even going to have a season. And then when you saw it was an all SEC schedule, you're kind of like, well, that takes away any of the real excitement I had of being good this year. But then my dumbass did go down to Georgia, go to Athens to watch the 2-0 Vols. So, I'm into it. Again, when Tennessee's good, it helps. And I think Tennessee at least has hope, right? And isn't that all you want?
Yeah.
Is some hope? No real pressure. I don't feel any pressure, really, with Tennessee. So that's good. Like, it's just like ultimate hope. So that's nice.
I don't really know how to gauge it, honestly. Like, I think I reach, besides Butch's last year and Dooley's last year, I've pretty much been the maximum amount of excited for every season that you can possibly be. So, like, I mean, I'm just as excited for this year as I was last year and the year before.
Okay, so not any different, just the same.
But I guess I have more hope this year. I guess maybe that's what's changed.
Well, that makes me excited to have hope.
I don't know. In terms of like where we're at in the year, I'm probably like 10 out of 10 in excitement right now.
Oh,
probably
wow.
Be like 50 out of 10 come July and like 100 out of 10 come August. But like right now, until college baseball is over.
Okay, that's
and
fair.
And the NBA is over and the NHL, like those still linger in my brain. And then it just becomes full college football mode right now. But I'm still in like, I've entered the phase of the off season where I'm laying there at night. And I'm like scrolling through like the week 8 schedule just to see what cool like week 8 games we have or like week 7. So like you're starting to ramp up the excitement a little bit.
So you're still into the NHL right now?
Yeah.
Even though the Preds are gone?
Yeah, I still am. I still think playoff hockey is just such a good product.
Okay. So hit me with these games. What do we got? What are we looking at? Is this just the opening like couple weeks or the full season or what?
They tweeted out some of their major ABC matchups, the schedule for them. Three of them come from the first week. And then there's a couple later ones they included, too. So the Georgia-Oregon game is going to be a 3:30 ABC game.
Nice. I'm trying to go to that one.
You're going to try to go to that?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
Cheer against Georgia. And I think that's I like that interesting matchup. I don't know. Oregon's not as good now, so it's not quite as interesting as when it was announced. But
I guess Dan Lanning versus
just go to Mercedes-Benz and cheer against Georgia and something.
Does Oregon have much, like, anything all that special this year?
I mean, they just hired Georgia's defensive coordinator. That's about it. That's the biggest storyline, but, yeah. I don't know. It's just a cool, interesting matchup, I feel like.
But then they went with Notre Dame at Ohio State as the nightcap.
Notre Dame at Ohio State is getting the game day treatment as well.
Yeah.
And they're also getting game day, right?
Which... Mm. Yeah, I believe so. Which you know kind of highlights the conversation we had yesterday to an extent too. Neutral site game versus home and home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure if Notre Dame and Ohio State were neutral site and Georgia was going like at Oregon, you could very much see those reversed. I think people just want to see home and homes more, and I for one am really excited to just watch Notre Dame play at Ohio State and see them in that stadium. I just think it's really cool when you have big programs play each other in each other's stadiums. You don't get to see that much.
Yeah. I do think we've gone a little bit too far against neutral site games. I do still think they can be cool if it's at an actual neutral site that's like sort of close to where the schools are. Like Georgia-Clemson last year, was it last year? Was pretty fun because it was in like Charlotte and both fan bases were there and represented. Mm-hmm. And like it was loud and felt like a big game.
I think there are special exceptions to when neutral site's fun.
Taking Oregon and putting them like in Dallas doesn't do anything for me. Like that doesn't feel like a neutral site at all. Like that doesn't feel close or.
Well, I mean, like they're going to Mercedes-Benz for the Georgia game, aren't they?
Okay, so that's just a Georgia home game.
Yeah,
then.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I didn't realize that was at Mercedes-Benz, but yeah. So it's just a.
How stupid! Why not just play in Athens at that point?
Yeah. Well, I guess so that way they can at least get some tickets. I guess would be the idea. I don't know. But I do enjoy seeing the big schools obviously go to do road games. Like one of the best games from that I still remember is like, you know, Vince Young taking Texas into Ohio State and winning in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And there's just
that was fun.
Even in recent history, like there's been a lot of fun home and homes, like Georgia going to Notre Dame or the Tennessee Oklahoma was awesome. I thought Oklahoma going to Ohio State was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that there's significantly better home and home games than there are neutral site games. But there are some fun neutral site, like when you go to Ireland or like the Battle of Bristol. Or the one that always stands out to me was LSU and Wisconsin and Lambeau. Like that was one of my favorites. When you get something surrounding it that makes it interesting. But when you just play in these same domes every year next to an SEC school, then I don't care.
It's all just these damn domes, yeah. Which, I mean, obviously the Battle of Bristol was fun. I enjoyed that one. That felt like it was also kind of a neutral site, you know, close to both fan bases. Though, like, it felt like, you know, Tennessee and Virginia Tech, pretty close to Bristol. You go up there and you have fun. Anyways, you got the games?
Yeah, I mean, there's four more, like Florida State, LSU the next day, ABC, 7:30.
Okay.
They also announced that Wisconsin, Ohio State will be an ABC game, which I didn't know. Did the TV rights change where they've gotten – like a Big Ten game like that? Because I would have thought that Fox would have gotten that.
Yeah, I don't know, because on the flip side, which, I mean, I guess we already kind of knew this with the Big 12, but I did see that Fox, you know, went ahead and put out, they're like, hey, we got Texas at Texas-Alabama's game this year. Mm-hmm. Fox dropped that, like, hey, we got Texas-Alabama on September 10th. So, you know, again, we know Texas plays, again, I assume that's going to be Big Noon, right? So you're going to play that at noon, which is part of the reason Texas and Oklahoma are like, hey, we need to, you know, maybe leave the Big 12 because these TV slots are stupid. But
you don't like Big Noon kickoff?
I mean, I don't necessarily mind it because I don't have to go to the games, right? And, like, it's nice to have something at noon whenever you're ready to watch college football. But that was a part of the complaint for both Texas and Oklahoma is, like, these games are at 11 a.m. local. Like, that ruins our whole Saturdays whenever, like, we're having big home games that are on at 11 a.m. here in town. Like, that's hard to create, a real atmosphere, but, B, like, take advantage of big games, you know, locally with our, you know, local businesses and everything.
I think that the Big Ten does a pretty good job with the Big Noon kickoff.
I guess I would imagine they'd still would rather have it at night, though. Like, in a perfect world, you'd rather be there, like, in the quote-unquote prime time.
Yeah, I guess so. Did Fox say anything else or any other games, or was it just that?
That was the only one I saw. They went ahead and, I guess, was trying to get it. They were doing, like, a upfront presentation, which I guess I don't know if that's with stockholders or what, but I guess they're talking about their plans for the football and Texas-Alabama on September 10th. By the way, opening line, Bama minus 15. In the Steve Sarkisian revenge game, I guess, or
that's an easy one.
You like Alabama with and laying the points there, I assume.
Oh yeah, big time.
Okay.
They also let it be known that Texas, Oklahoma, they have, which I feel like they usually have, right? Or is that usually Fox?
Texas, Oklahoma is. I want to say that for the longest was ABC, but I don't. I thought it was ABC last year, wasn't it? I don't know.
And then they have Florida State, and they did attach a time to that one.
At Florida State, night game or what?
Yeah, night game, November 25th, 7:30.
Okay.
Kind of weird that they attached a time to that one and that late, but I guess, oh, that's Friday. That's why they announced the time. They're doing that on a Friday night now instead of Saturday.
So I guess
so that's actually really cool.
I guess that would be Black Friday, is that right?
Black Friday night is Florida State in Florida in the swamp at night. That's actually going
to
be fun.
It's actually at a Doak Walker this year, according to the graphic I'm looking at.
I said in the swamp.
Yeah, it's Florida at Florida State this year.
Yeah, it is.
No worries. So Florida State gets two of these major ABC matchups. Like, just that's the one thing.
It's probably going to be like 2-6-6 teams advertising it.
That's the thing that jumps out to me is like Florida State versus LSU. Okay, who the hell cares? I guess that's a Sunday game, I guess. Would that be actual, like, the Labor Day game?
That's the Sunday game, yeah.
Right. So not the Labor Day game, but this. Okay, the Sunday.
What's the Labor Day game?
They might not have one. I don't know.
I'll find out.
They usually have one, right? They usually do, like, a triple header, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right?
Yeah. The Labor Day game is Clemson, Georgia Tech.
Oh, God. What are you doing?
It really could have done a lot better.
I did see Georgia Tech's schedule today, and I was just like, Georgia Tech's schedule looks as if whoever made this hates Georgia Tech, because it's like you start with Clemson, you end with Georgia, and like just a whole bunch of you just don't really get any like layups in between.
Oh, poor Jackets.
The Fan Run live stream is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. If you are not active right now because of discomfort or pain that is limiting any of your activities, check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. People from all over Tennessee and beyond make the trip to get back in the game of life without surgery. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Cam, of all those games, Charlie, of all those games, which ones get you the most excited? Go ahead and throw Texas-Alabama in there as well.
Probably Ohio State-Notre Dame, just as I think that's probably the closest of them.
Okay.
That is, you know, actually relevant to the playoffs down the road.
It's kind of crazy, like, whenever you talk about, like, the, quote, major ABC matchups, like, Georgia-Oregon to me is a snooze fest. Like, first year head coach in his first game going up against the defending national champions, like, in Atlanta, that seems like a massacre waiting to happen.
Yeah, that sucks for me.
Florida State at LSU, like, I guess they're kind of in the similar boat of, like, they both got some questions to answer. LSU, of course, with the first-year head coach, or at the school at least, with Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Florida State still trying to get out of mediocrity. Wisconsin at Ohio State. I mean, I would like that one much more if it was Ohio State at Wisconsin. I don't feel like Wisconsin could go into the horseshoe and win. Texas and Oklahoma is always fun, and Florida State seems kind of mid, too. So, like,
yeah.
Texas, yeah. Alabama, we said, was a 15-point spread. So, you know, for their quote-unquote big matchups, they ain't a lot of actual, like, big-time game, Phil.
There are other games these weeks that I'm more excited for in these first couple weeks than the ones that are listed.
Just not on ABC, I guess.
Yeah, like Utah and Florida play week one.
Oh, my God. You're excited for Utah, Florida?
I mean,
Utah-Florida. Is that a neutral site game, or is that at?
At Florida.
Good for you.
I mean, Utah is probably going to be a top 10 team to start the year.
Yeah.
Going on the road to Florida and Billy Napier's first game. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun. No? You don't agree?
I mean,
Cincinnati, Arkansas week one is also exciting to me.
Utah going to the Swamp and getting to see Billy Napier coach's first game is intriguing. I'm not sure it's good. Like, I don't know how that game gets me excited. Like,
I don't know. Like, is Utah going to beat the hell out of Florida?
That would be awesome. It would be awesome. But, like, I just don't – that matchup doesn't get me excited. I'm not saying you can't take anything away from it and, like, that I won't watch it, but, like
– Cincinnati-Arkansas week one gets you excited.
No, it doesn't.
No?
No.
That gets me really excited. No. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. It's not doing anything for me, though. Chuckles.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by that one, actually.
Let's go!
I'm intrigued by that one.
That's fine. I'm not trying to be a downer. It's just like the random college football games just don't really move me. Like,
that is a pretty random combination.
Two teams that were like top 15 last year.
Yeah, I don't. I'll check in with Cincinnati at the end of the year. Like, let me know if they're any good this year. But, like, they lost everything.
Yeah, they did.
Them being good last year doesn't give me the same level of confidence that they're going to reload like the other teams that were really good last year. I'll imagine Cincinnati's going to take a pretty big step back.
I don't. I trust Fickell.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
So that one doesn't get you going either?
I mean, I'll be interested. I'll watch because I want to see what Arkansas looks like. But no. I'm not going to be counting down the days for that one.
Well, looking at week two, can I get you enticed by?
We were about to say Baylor because the answer is no. If you were going to say anything with Baylor in it, the answer is no. I have no desire to watch Baylor play football until maybe they play Oklahoma or maybe like the Big 12 championship.
I was going to say Baylor going.
Yeah, I knew BYU. That's what it seemed like you were about to say. Credit to you, Charlie, for learning me enough to realize that you didn't even have to finish that sentence because the answer was
going
to be no.
What about Washington State going to Wisconsin?
What about shut the hell up? Washington State. Why would I ever care about Washington State? Is Garantano still there?
That's cool.
Is Garantano still there?
They got Delora.
No. Then I don't care.
A good young returning quarterback.
Oh, if Garantano was playing, maybe.
Okay. Well, can I interest you in the backyard brawl?
Sure.
Let's go!
Just for the sake of ending this segment, because I don't... that I will actually be interested in because I want to see them play, obviously, before they play Tennessee.
And we got Penn State-Auburn week three. Don't forget about that.
Oh, my God. That game last year, I guess, was exciting, but it was so boring.
That game last year was awesome. That was one of the... I look back and think like that was one of the more fun games of the entire college football season.
I look back at that and think it was just really bad Big Ten football.
What about... Can I get you intrigued by Miami and Texas A&M?
Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, I'm in on that one. I want to see Mario Cristobal.
I want to see
the returning.
Tyler Van de Beek.
Yep. That one I'm actually into. That one's week two.
That's week three.
Okay.
I feel like no one's mentioned that one. When I like look at list of like best games or like the games we're looking forward to, I don't think I've seen that listed anywhere. Does BYU Oregon get you anywhere?
Who in Oregon?
BYU in Oregon?
No, not at all. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Did you realize that the NFL was finally putting an end to bad late-season Monday Night Football games? Because I didn't.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah.
We're flexing them now.
They are introducing flex scheduling.
Okay.
For Monday Night Football games.
Okay.
Weeks 14 to 18.
Okay, I like that. That's good.
They also say they will feature three Monday Night Football doubleheaders. So I imagine that's for the full year, right? Not just in those, like,
yeah,
because
the
last
Bills
four weeks.
Titans is that week two is
right.
One of them.
Week two, right, but is that one of the three doubleheaders?
Yeah, I believe so, because I remember when they dropped that game, they said this is going to be part of a series of doubleheaders.
Okay.
What were the other two again? You said the flex games are going to be double?
Well, no, the flex scheduling is week 14 through 18, and then it said comma, and the schedule feature three doubleheaders, so I didn't know if that was a part of the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks, or if it was that was they were just saying three the entire year, because I haven't seen any of the other Monday Night Football doubleheaders, or at least I haven't noticed them. I guess we have our full schedule now, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have the...
What are the Monday Night Football doubleheaders?
The doubleheader week two, obviously, you have with the Titans again.
Yeah, I know that one.
I'm looking now, John. I'm at week 10, and I still don't see another doubleheader.
So maybe that is going to be like just in the... Will that just be like in the flex scheduling? Like, hey, we're going to throw these on the games that matter? You know, sorry about it, fans, if you are planning on coming, but we're going to go ahead and, you know, give you a really, really late notice on this.
So.
Seems that way, right?
I think that's what the flex scheduling is adding a second game to the already set Monday Night Football.
When I think of flex scheduling, I think of what they do on.
Where you pick one. That's what I think of, too. But you still have Monday Night Football games in Week 15, 16, and 17 already announced.
Yeah, but they're going to take them off much like they do Sunday Night Football, is my understanding. Because, you know, like we already have flex scheduling for Sunday Night Football where it's just like, yeah, we're going to take you off. Like, we're going to put the best game on. Right?
Is that how it works? I thought they left it open and picked one.
No,
they do take someone off.
No, like everyone is scheduled right now. Like the whole Sunday Night Football schedule is out, and then they'll maybe switch them around. You know, the either a week or 2 weeks before the game actually takes place. Which, you know, credit to ESPN for being like, hey, if we're gonna give all this money to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, we might as well try to get the best games possible.
Yeah, honestly.
So I guess like the Titans could just randomly end up with a Monday Night Football game at any given time in the last five.
Last 5 weeks, yeah, and they've pretty much told the fans sorry about it. Like it's gonna be hard for like the road teams to be able to get here and figure out Mondays. And if you booked your trip in those weeks, like be careful because we might take you off. I guess.
The last 5 weeks, the Titans play the Jags. The
Titans won't be on there.
Yeah.
Maybe. Potentially, like, whatever week 18's matchup is, like, the last 5 weeks, like, at the Chargers,
that's what I was
maybe.
About to say, is at Chargers could be the one that I could see.
But I would say that that's probably not going to happen because the next weekend's Christmas Eve and the Titans play on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So, like, a Monday to Saturday, I don't think they would do that. So, like, I would say if you're a Titans fan, you don't have to worry about being flexed into Monday Night Football. I think everyone agrees that four primetime games is enough for the Titans.
Do you like primetime games? Like,
love primetime games. I love it because my team usually plays well on primetime. Titans usually perform pretty well on primetime, right?
I like having primetime games.
Beat the Rams' ass on primetime last year.
But then part of me doesn't like not playing on Sundays.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you could be on primetime just on Sunday Night Football, but we worried all about our first-round pick, Treylon Burke. Getting sick at the first day of practice, not being conditioned enough, and like having to go like get his inhaler.
Not even in
the league. Does he have asthma?
I think he does.
Do people like use inhalers that don't have asthma?
I don't think so.
Like, I've always wanted.
It's like
to.
A prescription thing.
I didn't know if it was just like there was a different kind. Like if you're just like really
like I have asthma, and it's like a prescription thing. Like, I have to go like get it from like a pharmacy.
Why is
or something.
That?
When do you have to use asthma? Like whenever you run a lot, or is it like allergies, like being outside in pollen? Does that mess you up?
Allergies
or?
Can, but like, yeah, it's like your lungs are just kind of restricted. So, yeah, running and just any sort of thing like that. But like a lot of times if it's still an issue at like an older age, you'll like take your inhaler or use your inhaler before you like engage in the activity to try to, you know, help you out with that kind of stuff. And
how much did that bother you like playing football?
Me not a ton. I didn't really have a ton of issues with it past like middle school. Middle school I had a couple asthma attacks. I had one at like a track practice one time. Where like yeah, I had to like I needed my inhaler like immediately or I was gonna like I couldn't breathe at all. But high school I didn't really have as big of issues, but you do like I would after practice sometimes like go get my inhaler and use it because I am like wheezing from
just being tired from the stuff. But
do you have your inhaler on you?
Yeah.
Can I try?
No. What?
What?
I've always wanted to try an inhaler.
One of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
I just want to know what it like.
You have to put your mouth on. You think he's just going to let you put your mouth on his inhaler? It's like basically. I mean, it feels almost more invasive than like using someone's toothbrush. I guess equal probably, but
It's basically just like, for lack of a better, it's like a form of steroid that just expands your lungs. That's basically what it does.
I just have one.
That's what it does.
Because your airways are like, the asthma makes your airways more restricted than most people, so it kind of just opens up your lungs more. But I haven't had any asthma issues in a while, so like I still occasionally like if I would go out and like was gonna go play like a football game right now, and
you would take it with
you. I probably definitely would use it afterwards. Or
it just didn't feel good. No offense to the asthma boys out there, to like see my first round pick already have to like go off the field after like one route to like go take hits of his inhaler.
That's something else. either he's.
But I would think that like you know, if it didn't bother him in the SEC, it won't bother him in the NFL, and like maybe it won't be like asthma springtime like with allergies like floating around outside because it's.
He had one bad day. He just got. Just rookie minicamp's tough because you don't have a lot of people at the position necessarily, or nearly as many as you would. So you're just getting of reps.
Yeah, that's fine. But the report was he got one rep, Charlie, and went to the locker room. It wasn't like after an hour of practice, it was one rep.
Maybe he was just hungover.
That's also troubling.
I'm not worried about it. Jamar Chase last offseason, they were talking about he's slow, dropping balls out of shape.
I don't remember him calling him slow, but I do remember them saying he couldn't catch NFL
they were
footballs.
Calling him slow.
I don't remember him saying it was slow, but I do remember him. You know, the joke about him not being able to like pick up the football and it being too big for him.
Stripes and
stuff.
Yeah,
the stripes not being on there, and you're just like, what the hell? And then he, of course, dominated the NFL. I do like that we finally get the flex Monday Night Football games. It does seem like the NFL and ESPN have a much much better relationship now, so I guess they're going to quit punishing them.
They're going to quit punishing
the NFL for like whenever Bill Simmons was talking about Roger Goodell, and then they pretty much got a four bad years of Monday Night Football. And everybody's like calling Roger Goodell a liar, and ESPN like on like their airwaves and platforms. So we get some good late Monday Night Football.
That's good. Oh. We need that.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman.
Oh no!
What?
TMZ just reported that Lionel Messi's agent denies that the striker is joining the club.
Oh, wow.
Or buying him.
Okay.
A percentage.
All right.
Completely false.
That was a soccer reporter, blue check guy that had put that out at the beginning of the show. So hopefully
hopefully
nobody, I mean, that's probably a pretty good chance that someone just heard of 15 minutes of the show and then had to go on about their day and probably telling all their friends about this. And they're going to think we spread fake news. But it wasn't our fault.
It was not our fault.
It wasn't our fault. It was reported. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. So we might not be getting Messi to the U.S.
Apparently, maybe not.
That's disappointing.
Feel like you got to kind of do that if you get $200 million, right?
Yeah.
And like, I mean,
and like
I
you
know
said,
that
it boosts its own value if you're playing.
I mean, like if you only have to, especially if you only play for like 2 years in Miami, like it seems like that they could do worse things. Although maybe he's not ready to call it a career yet.
Maybe he's like, wait, yeah, hold up. I'm going to do this, but
yeah,
not until like 2024.
Yeah,
or 2025.
I still have 2 years left where I can like be like really good in Europe. Maybe I don't know.
Is he still really good in Europe?
I mean, I feel like he's still really good in Europe.
I mean, I think he is.
Yeah,
he's still pretty good.
That would be really scary if he was just still really good, but now all of a sudden in the MLS. Could you imagine?
I mean, that's what what's his name was kind of like.
Ibrahimovic?
Yeah. he was dominating when he first came to the MLS. Well,
like, he was fun when he came, though. Yeah. Like it actually like raised the status of the league a little bit. And he's like, you know what? Actually, I could go back and play in the Premier League for a little bit or whatever league he was at. Like, he's like, I could go still play at a high level. He's like calling himself God and like, following it up. But like, it would be nice if you know one of these guys came with still a couple years, I don't want to say of your prime left because that seems a little foolish, but come like while you still can play at least at like 90% of what you were. And like, you know, at the ownership level, of, you know, 35%, that would seem enticing enough to get a couple of those years.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, watch anybody's pockets and talk about, you know, ask the question of how much money is enough money, but, like, seriously, Messi, well, you know, how much money is enough money? And now you get, like, actual ownership stake, and I do feel like that would be a bigger deal to the MLS, obviously, if those players are still good. Because I remember, like, Thierry Henry coming, he was kind of washed, and
yeah.
I feel like Beckham wasn't very good. I don't feel like Wayne Rooney was very good. Like, I mean, you usually get these guys at the very, very end of their career, and maybe you get a better chance with a...
Yeah, I mean, when you get somebody, yeah, Messi's just level in general. Him, at the end of his career, is going to be a lot better than all these other guys were, so...
You would think so.
Would be a nice boost, and Miami would definitely be a sellout, I feel like, almost immediately, if this happens, but...
Yeah, I mean, you would think that would be, I mean, it's global news, and that, you know, give so many people a chance to get to watch them play soccer would be huge for the growth of both MLS and just, like, American soccer, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I know that they bring these clubs to America sometimes now for exhibitions, but, like, I don't know. I don't feel like he's been here, has he? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he hasn't. I just don't know.
I'm trying to think if I remember one where they – I want to say Madrid came at one point. Because they, you know, they would do, like, the All-Star games. They'd get the MLS All-Stars, and they would play, like, a European team.
Yeah,
probably came over for one of those.
I didn't know if he ever came with that.
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but that would probably have been the best bet.
Okay.
We just, Asthma Boy, we signed him.
What?
Treylon Burks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fully
guaranteed.
Yeah, I guess is that the going right now for all first-round picks? Like, do teams give up on trying to get, like, any offset language in, or are they just now doing all, like, guaranteed contracts to avoid holdouts?
I guess.
I think so. Just the way it's trending.
As Mike Herndon points out to rile up the fan base, 4 years of Treylon Burks cost the same as 10 games of A.J. Brown. It really puts it in perspective a little bit.
Okay. That's a good way to look at it. So you get 4 years for, I mean, a fraction of the cost of what, you know, he's going to be, I guess, $25 million a year pretty soon?
Yeah. So, yeah, his entire four-year contract is the same as A.J. Brown makes in 10 games.
Hmm. Okay.
Jeez.
I mean.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes me feel even better.
The numbers
that,
are good?
Yeah, use that money. Lock up Big Jeff.
So it was basically $15 million for all 4 years?
Yeah.
That's pretty solid. I like the decision. Hour two in the books. We'll go off hour three of headlines. We'll talk about the conference finals starting tonight. We've got some Tuesday trivia. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.